cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
Glory to God. Pastor, thank you for this privilege. Pastor, me, thank you. Yeah, you're here to share God's word with us. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of us have been richly blessed over the last few weeks on the word we've received? Hallelujah. 2 weeks ago, brother, you came here and just took us back to deeper life. And asked us the question, what do you believe? And are you standing on what you what? Once believed. Hallelujah. God bless you, sir. Hallelujah. And that same Sunday, Pastor Dave came, right? 2 weeks ago. And he spoke to us about, even in a moment of crisis, you know, you had a great prophet like the man Elijah. And, you know, he went through all of those things and yet through it all, God stood him out. Hallelujah. And he came prophetically declaring God's word to us that in this season and time, we are still going to enjoy fruitfulness, irrespective of the situations and circumstances around us. That's what we're going to enjoy. Were we blessed by that? Yes. Let's celebrate God some more. Hallelujah. The last week, Sunday, Pastor came. Wow. Wow. Started first service and taught us on the spiritual man. And he taught us that, you know, I'm just putting us by way of remembrance, oh, because we come to Sunday every Sunday and we hear these messages and sometimes he ends there. By way of remembrance of the things that we have heard. And he talked about the spiritual man. How that there is a spiritual man and a carnal man. How that God expects that we mature and we grow and it doesn't happen by default. How that one major, major, major sign of immaturity is strife. Wow. And we entered the second service and we started to talk about the mercy of God. How that we can enjoy momentary success and breakthroughs and find ourselves in a position where it seems like all hell has broken loose over us. And all we just have to cry is, Lord, save me. I was blessed. And there was some brokenness that came by that word. Some repentance that came by that word. Some course correction that came by that word. And I hope we're walking in the light of it. I believe God still has a word for us today. Hallelujah. God has a word for us today. God has a word for us today.
Thank you. Hallelujah. And it's not far from all that we have been hearing in the last 2-3 weeks. Because I believe that God's word and this prophetic season we have come into is pervasive. God wants to settle some things in our hearts before he brings us into what he has established for us in this 7th year. Hallelujah. Let's have our seat in God's presence. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I have 20 minutes to do this. Okay. 25 minutes at most. Hallelujah. Today we'll be teaching or listening to the subject, running your race. Because I have a lot of content or a lot of things to go through, I'll probably stand still most of the time and just teach. I wouldn't exhort us. The word of God will do that. Let's take the first reading. We'll read a lot of scriptures. And I have some of them typed out, so I might not need to wait for you or the multimedia team to read it. Okay? So we can move fast. Romans 9 and verse 6, the first reading. Then the next reading will be 1 Corinthians 9, 24 to 27. Then the third reading will be 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 and 8. Multimedia, if you get that, you can follow through. The first reading, Romans 9 and verse 16. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word. We ask that as we listen to the teaching and the ministry of your word, that you would course correct us. That the spirit of your word will come inside us. That our lives will never remain the same again. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name we pray. So then, it is not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that sheweth mercy. Romans 9 and verse 16. That's what we just got through reading. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. I read all the way to 27. Know ye not that they which run a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one beating the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7 and 8. I have fought, I'm reading this in the Amplified. I have fought the good, worthy, honorable, and noble fight. I have finished the race. I have kept firm held the faith. As to what remains, hereforth, there is laid up for me the victor's crown of righteousness. For being right with God and doing right, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me and recompense on that great day. And not to me only, but also, somebody say also, to all those who have loved and yearned for you and welcomed his appearing, his returning. I bring it to us today that there is a race. And as many as have listening to me this morning that has given their life to Christ are enlisted in that race. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. This mic is failing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. So I bring it to you this morning that there is a race. And over the last few months, the last few weeks, I'll be honest to say I've been thinking about my race. You know, I would be maybe 13 years of, for 13 years, yes, in the faith, September this year. And I said this 2 Sundays ago, and I think it bears worth saying, that I find that in a lot of areas, I was more sure of my faith then than now. And a lot of us can find ourselves in that place. We attend service. We pray in the morning. Read our Bible as we ought to. We share the word and the gospel with others. But you have a question. There is I was ministering one day in a small group meeting, and the Lord opened my eyes to see something about a brother. And what I saw in that vision was thick darkness. And interestingly, that particular instance, I was giving a prophetic word to literally everybody in that meeting. And, you know, how can I come? I'm giving everybody good things. And I just come to you and I say, I see thick darkness. This particular brother in question was in this church for a while. Gave his life to Christ in this church. Was discipled, mentored, and guided for at least a couple of years in this church. And at that particular instance, I saw a darkness. And what came to my spirit after my eyes was open to see that was, I said the guy was no more. And you know, personally, let me leave that aside. You are thinking to yourself, how do you say something like this? You understand? Like, is it that the guy is going to die? Is it that I just saw darkness? And evidently, what came to my spirit was like the guy was no more. It wasn't 2 months that was the end of that guy's journey in the faith. So Paul, all the scriptures we read, starts to tell us that we are all in a race. It starts to tell us that this race is worth running. Because at the end of each of our race, there is a prize to obtain. There is a prize to receive. Spending a lot of time on this. And he says, he declares in 2 Timothy, 4, that I can speak for myself. I have finished the race. The question is this: how many of us, at every instance of our lives, at every moment, will say we are ready to finish our race? What is this race? Because it sounds over our head, right? What is this race? Let me make it very simple. This race is the journey of our faith. The journey of this life we have found in Christ. And how that not every one of us will end well. But God expects every one of us to what? To end well. To finish strong. To obtain. You know, he uses that word obtain consistently 3 times in 1 Corinthians 9. Meaning that getting to the end of our race doesn't happen by default. It is something to obtain. It is something to press for. It is something to aspire for. It is something to put at the front burner of our lives. You know, we are captivated by making money, having a good life, getting married. But the one thing that is most needful for each and every one of us in this newfound faith, in this life we have come into Christ, is what we have put at the back burner. The fact that each and every one of us will end our lives, whatever that day may be, and be excited and stand courageous saying, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have finished my race. So what is this race? And what is the value of the race? Let's look at another scripture. Philippians 3. We'll read from verse 13. From verse 4, pardon me. All through to 14. From verse 4. It says, yet if anyone ever had reason to hope. I believe I'm reading in the Living Bible. Yet, if anyone ever had reason to hope that he could be saved, could save himself, it would be me. It would be I. The Living Bible, do you have that? No? Sir? Sorry? Okay. KJV. Okay.
Just follow. I'll read it from here. If others could be saved. Sorry, okay, where was I? Let me take it again. Yet if anyone ever had reason to hope that he could save himself, it could be I. If others could be saved by what they are, certainly I could. Listen to this man. Follow the story. For I went to the Jewish initiation ceremony when I was 8 years old, having been born into a pure-blooded Jewish home that was a branch of the old original Benjamin family. There was no mixture. So I was a real Jew, if there was ever one. What's more, I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to every Jewish law and custom. And sincere, yes, so much so that I greatly persecuted the church and I tried to obey every Jewish law and regulation right down to every last point. That's this man talking. Look at his background. But all these things that I once thought was very worthwhile, now I have thrown them all away so I can put my trust and hope in Christ alone. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared to the priceless gain of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have put aside all else, counting it worthless than nothing, in order that I can have and become one with, no longer counting one being saved by being good enough or by obeying God's law. So this man is saying that in terms of right living, I have everything to boast of it. You know, there are many unbelievers that live better than Christians. So many of them. And this man is saying that in terms of living to the standards and the dictates of the law, I find myself in an elite set of those that can almost attest to the fact that there are 99.9% of which you can never be 100% in the law. Listen to him. Just listen. We are reading the scripture today. There is no much talk. Time. There is no even time again to talk. Verse 10. Now I have given up everything else. I have found it to be the only way to really know Christ and to experience that mighty power that brought him back to life. So the question is this. What is everything else to you? 2 weeks ago, I was asking myself this question in a similar way. What is everything else to me? What is everything else to you? You see, I'll skip most of the reading and just jump to verse 13. Jesus said that in Matthew 13, the kingdom of God is like a man who found a precious pearl and sold all he had to purchase that pearl because of the price of it. This race we have been called to is worth everything else. You know, I was led to teach this. I wanted to teach something else. Very interesting topic. And interestingly, I was just meditating along these lines on Thursday. And I was in the office and for some reason, I think it was before work hours, I just checked my phone. And usually, I opened a Twitter account. I've not seen it in over 9 years. I don't even know what's going on there. So, but Twitter always sends this thing to your mail that they tell you like some things. And I think the people I followed when I went on Twitter was some pastors. So they did a caption by Taiwo Odukoya. And interestingly, get what he thought on last week Sunday.
running your race. And there was a podcast, 20 minutes podcast. I want to listen to it. And I was listening to this man in the 20 minutes podcast. And you know, something in me just broke. That what is this race worth? First wife died in a plane crash. Second wife died to cancer. And he comes to the church and he says, "Oh, this gospel is sweet. This race is worth running." Something in me broke. That, what are the things? What are all these things? What are all these things that has replaced the value and the worth of this race to my eyes? What are the pressures, the burdens, the pursuits that has exchanged the worth, the price, the value of this race that I found? What? That a man comes after facing one of those things is enough to break a man. It's enough to break a man's faith. And he comes back and he says what? This race is worth running. What have we found in this race? Let me read verse 13. "No, dear brothers, I am still not all I should be. But I am bringing all my energies to bear on this one thing. I am bringing everything in me to bear." And I started to ask myself, what are the things that are taking all my energies? Legitimate as it may be, it has no comparison to the value of the race and the price set before you and I. So I'm bringing us to remembrance of these things so that we can press to obtain the price. You know, there was once upon a time that the gospel preached was that Jesus is coming back soon. And are you ready? I think we need to come back to that. We have preached it so much that it seems like even we, the church, have gotten tired of hearing it ourselves, that Jesus is coming back soon. Whether he comes in the second coming or he comes to us in the form of death, whatever it is, Jesus is coming back soon. And the question is, are we ready? Are we ready? Are we encumbered with strife, grief, with hate, pain, hurt, and we have left the most important pursuit to all of these things that are pressing and pushing and choking and seeking to bring us to that place where we have no sight of the most important thing to us? So what are certain characters for us to hold on to in this race? I've skipped a lot of things. Too many things. Number one, you can take note if you are. The race is not to the perfect. These are certain characters that, or certain things that we need to hold dear to as we run this race. The race is not to the perfect, but to the faithful. Hebrews 11 gives us a catalog of a number of men that God found faithful, and women, pardon me. And I look through all of their lives, and I find not one that I can't point to definite, I mean, things that you say that this person has no value. But yet, Christ said, these people have finished their race.
The Holy Spirit says, these people have run a good race. It beats me to say, the race is not to the perfect, but to the what? For the faithful. Hebrews 3, 1 and 2. You can put that as reference. The next one, the race is not to the hasty, but to the patient. Let me read this one. Hebrews 6, 11 and 12. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end. You see what this man, see what they were feasting on. It's not how to make money that these guys were feasting on. That's why the gospel went around the world, that there is an end, there is an hope, there is a reward, there is an expectation. They are coming back to Christ. They are going to make account for their lives on earth. You see, and he goes on to say, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherited what? The promises. You know, Pastor has said it often and again, that is better to exercise caution than zeal. The next character on us, for us to run this race, is that the race is not a sprint, it's a marathon. What does this mean? We can get fixated in short-term victories and get what's that word? We just lose sight of the long-term journey. You see, I listen to a lot of people. There's a man I listened to one time. They were celebrating the 40th anniversary of a mission in Nigeria, Great Commission Movement. And the person that founded the church of the mission in Nigeria came and they asked him to share, you know, with the people and all of that. He's above his 70s or 80s, almost 80s. He's looking very young and agile. And he said, and when somebody in the audience asked him a question, what have you done that has kept you faithful in the faith all these years? He said, I live a life of constant devotion with God. And I prize it more than any other thing. Remember what Brother Ayo taught us. You see, having aesthetic experiences are good. But I tell you, having your life built around certain pillars is more enduring. The next point is that the race is not for the distracted, but for the focused. Jesus himself, the Bible says, when it was about time, he set his face like a flint, like one going to Jerusalem. It says in Isaiah 50 and verse 7, for the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be ashamed. It takes us setting our face like a flint not to be ashamed on this race. It takes us looking, fixated at the goal that is set before us, for us not to be ashamed in this race. The next point, in terms of characters we require to run this race, skipped a lot of things, is the race is not to the faint-hearted, but to the convicted. The next one, the race is not to the proud, but to the meek. Last but not least, the race is not collective, but an individual race. My husband did this. That's why I've done this. My wife has been living like this. That's why I've lived like this. I got abused for this and that. That's why I've done this. Oh, my church, They just didn't like me. In fact, when I needed them the most, they were not there for me. That's why I've left the faith. This race, everybody will answer their surname. When we stand at the gates that fateful day, each man will bear his name before Christ. And he will ask us two questions. What have you done to my son? Did you receive him? Did you reject him? That determines where we spend eternity. You ask us a second question. Did you do what I asked you to do? That will determine how we spend eternity. Whether it's one of those that weep with garnishing and saying, oh, I wish I had lived better. Or with those coming boldly to the throne, receiving the crowns and the mansion set before them. So what are a few enemies that encumber us in this race? There are three of them. There are a lot of them. But I put these three words to summarize them. Number one, distractions. Number two, omissions. We call that sin. Number three, excesses. So let's end the conversation. We have heard all the things that are required of us. But I put it to you, the race is not even to the willing. We read it earlier, Romans 9, verse 16. It's not to him that willeth, but to him that runneth. But to God, who shows what? Mercy. So as we have these things put before us, those characters that we need to imbibe to run this race, I put it to you that we require the mercy of God to make it. We require the mercy of God to run with patience. We require the mercy of God not to be distracted and overwhelmed with the issues of life that encumber us and seek to stifle our faith. We require the mercy of God. So let's read two scriptures. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And Hebrews 4. Sorry, did I say Romans 12? Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Pardon me. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. And Hebrews 4, 14 to 15. Wherefore, seeing we also are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, saying that in this journey of faith, in Ephesians 3, Paul was praying, he says, I bow my knees to the Father and Lord of those who are in heaven and on earth. So, in this race, there are a number of people actually rooting for us. A lot of them are in heaven. They call them what? Cloud of what? Witnesses. These are some of the people that we recorded in Hebrews 11 that we just finished before coming here. Now that we have seen their lives and their examples, and we have seen how that they finished their race, let's learn from them. And what are we learning? Let us lay aside every weight and sin, and the sin which doeth so easily beset us. Notice, this is written to Christians. This is not written to unbelievers. This is written to what? Christians. And let us run with what? Patience. See it again. The race that is set before us. Verse 2. Looking up. Looking unto Jesus. The what? Author and what? Finisher of our what? So, it starts the faith and it helps us what? finish it. He helps us start the race. And he helps us what? Finish it. But why will he help us finish it? By what? Looking unto him. Let's read Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. No, don't let me skip it. Hebrews 2. Let's read Hebrews 2, 17 and 18. Wherefore, in all things, this and Hebrews 4, I'm going to use it to make the last point. Wherefore, in all things, it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Verse 18. For in that he himself had suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are what? Tempted. You see, in this life, in this time, we'll face challenges. We'll fall. Remember again, the race is not to do what? The race itself is not even to the perfect. But Jesus himself experienced the things we experienced and can stand as a merciful high priest, reconciling us, bringing us back to himself, and establishing us. Hallelujah. The last scripture, Hebrews 4, 14 and 15. Seeing then that we have a great high priest, see that word again, high priest, that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, with the things that seek to trick us and pull us down in our race. We have somebody that can relate with it. But was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Winning in this race requires the mercy of God. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the ministry of your word. We ask that you help us. You have said you would help us. You have said by the ministry that you have come into as the great high priest, you would stand at the gap, causing us to finish our race strong. Lord, as many as are on the sound of my voice, and even I who has released and spoken this truth that you have in your word to them, help us to finish strong. Help us to finish well. Let your mercy be stretched out to us in the time of need and help. Thank you, Father, for in Jesus' name, amen.